voice of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show here from the El Pacifico every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Thank you for being with us. It's our news and information hour. Bud Dickman's with us. Bud?
Yeah, doing it, buddy. Good. Do the news.
And Robert Leonard is here.
Yeah. I don't want to talk no more about Trayvon Martin, though.
Well, I mean, I don't either, but don't we have to?
What more are you going to say about it?
Really, there isn't a whole lot more to say about it. Not for the purposes of... There's no more to say about it from how we do radio. I suppose if talk radio's only real value is to have people call up and get angry and get emotional and scream and yell, or you know whatever.
What about like getting some clarity, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, here's my experience on that. I don't think that the talk radio venue is the place to do that. I don't think you get clarity here. I think you get a lot of people screaming and yelling at each other and. And that's that. I do think that what talk radio tends to do is validate stupidity, meaning if someone's dumb, they will find other dumb people like themselves on a talk station, and therefore it validates their screwed-up point of view. You know, so I would rather not perpetrate that. I would rather just perpetrate and commit to longevity my own screwed-up point of view.
Yeah, that's going to be my point.
Well, that's what you should do.
Exactly. So that's what our show is dedicated to, folks. We don't want to spread any confusion, only the confusion that I personally would like to spread. Thank you. All right. So getting back to our good, dear, personal friend, Mr. Oberfuhrer, here's what he said on the David Letterman show.
People know what they're doing. It's former Vice President Al Gore. Does he know what he's doing on TV?
I screwed up really big on this. Let's just start there.
All right.
I thought we could do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's my fault that it didn't succeed in the sense that I didn't think the whole thing through. I didn't say, you know, if you buy a $10 million chandelier, you should have a house to put it in. Mm-hmm. Just walking around with a $10 million chandelier isn't going to do anybody a lot of good.
No.
And it's not going to do any good to the chandelier.
Right.
No.
And then it turned out we didn't have a lot to put the house in, to put the chandelier in, or a building permit. And I should have known that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is my fault at heart.
You're the chandelier?
I'm the chandelier.
At the very heart and soul of that, yeah, you're the chandelier. So that's Oberman. And
how is this season fell? You guys have
get out of here.
Fine.
I don't want that.
What's that? That's an interesting story about bass fishing.
Get out of here with bass fishing. All right. So at $10 million, I got to ask myself this question. And you know, we're talking about a broadcasting. It's not a big story, all right, but it's a big broadcasting story, and it's Keith Oberman. And I wonder. You know, in the overall, man, is this only interesting to broadcasters, you know?
Yeah, probably, man, because if you look at the guy's ratings, nobody watched him.
That's true. I mean, it's true. Yeah, why do I belabor this, you know? The guy was only interesting to a handful of people, and which I'm not putting him down for that. I'm just saying, I wonder if it's a... Well, let me just say this.
Well, go ahead and talk about it.
Yeah, well... Keith Olbermann got $10 million a year. This was a five-year, $50 million deal. That's what we were led to understand from current TV. That's a lot of bread. I'm not saying that President Gore and Vice President Gore and his partners didn't have that kind of money. I'm saying that when you invest that kind of money in an individual, when you're giving a person $10 million, what are you actually paying for? What is it that you want to get from that guy? It's a very good question. Vice President Gore may not really understand how television works, but I don't think that Keith Olbermann does if all he did was take that $10 million and pocketed his salary. You know, so that was my only point when I said the guy should have started a production company. That's what everybody does. But he didn't do that. So when he says he cares about his staff, horse dung. When he says he cares about his audience, that's I mean, that cat is really playing people, you know.
Well, what do you mean? We don't care about his staff.
If he cared about his staff... He would have started a company, the Keith Olbermann Magnificent Television Company. And from that company is born or is continued the Keith Olbermann Countdown Show. And he pays the salaries. He pays the production costs. He pays out of the $10 million a year that current TV is giving him. And so nobody is unemployed. People remain in their jobs. And he's not sitting there crying and complaining about how he doesn't have good equipment. You know.
Yeah, you do that.
My situation is totally, don't even bring that up. It's totally different. But instead, what the guy did is he took the $10 million. He said, okay, thank you very much for the salary. It reminds me of a guy that I knew once. It was a very interesting story. And he was being courted by a radio station, which will be unnamed, and in a market, which will be unnamed, although I should name the market because it will give you a real good idea just how bright they are there. I think I will, as a matter of fact. San Diego, okay? And this cat, this radio station really wanted this guy. And he said, well, here's my price. And they said, well, okay, but if we pay you that, we won't have any money left over for promotion. We won't have any money left over for anything, really. It's all going to come out of, you know, that money is, we won't have any money for talent. He said, I'm really sorry to hear that. You know?
No, he didn't have no sympathy?
No, he could care less. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. As long as you know what it is you're getting into. Now, this is a radio station, a well-known radio station. It's a long-standing talk radio station. So there was no reason to believe that they didn't have the infrastructure to support the programming that they carried. Unlike current TV, which has gone from being some sort of a weird video channel to, I don't know what the hell they are. You know, who knows what they are? Some new incarnation of MSNBC, as far as I can tell. All right, so... And to be honest with you, they're new and they don't have their act together. But this is a different story. This is a guy who says, okay, I'm going to be a talk host. I'm on this talk station. Everybody knows the talk station. And here's how much. And they really, really want this guy. I mean, they really courted this guy. And they said, we really want this cat. He's a, you know, solid. He's good for our station, good for our market. We're going to pay this guy to be, okay, this is how much it's going to cost you. This is what he said to them. And they came back with the stupidest thing you could possibly say. Just the most unbelievably stupid thing you could possibly say. Which is, gee, if we pay you all that money, well, we won't have enough money left over. Why should he care?
Yeah, but won't he care if they don't have enough money, like, to promote his show or nothing like that?
No, why would he care whether they go find it then? See, the philosophy is this. You want to pay me that? Yeah, great. Well, now we don't have enough money. Well, I guess you're just going to have to go out and earn some more then. Maybe you're going to have to go to the parent company for it. Maybe you're going to have to fire some people. Maybe you're going to have to actually hear something unique, kick those sales guys in the ass, and have them go out and drum up some business. I know it sounds unusual, but weirder things have happened. But you're going to, and again, this guy was not really, it wasn't some kind of an ultimatum. They didn't have to hire him.
I was going to say, why'd they want to hire him?
That they had their little hearts set on hiring this guy. They could have said no. He goes, here's my price. Well, gee, we can't meet it. Okay, nice knowing you.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't be able to get the guy.
Well, because this guy had all the cards, is what I'm trying to say. He had all the cards. He could say, here's how much, and they'll pay it. Or he could say, you don't want to pay it? Then you don't hire me, and I'm going somewhere else. And I think really the threat was he was going to go across the street to the competition.
Yeah, man, that's going to put you in a bind.
Well... You know, either, like the saying goes, man, you know, either you can eat with the big dogs or you can't, you know. And so what I'm saying is this. Oberman, or his agent, said, all right, you want Keith Oberman, huh? Yeah, here's how much. Okay. Now, that's legitimate. But with a situation like that, and Keith Oberman, I'm assuming, wanted to have some, you know, it's not just about making $10 million a year. Isn't it about making $10 million a year and leaving, you know, creating something like a successful TV show? Or did he just want to rob him for $10 million a year? So what he wound up doing is taking that $10 million. He did nothing creative with that money other than, I'm sure, his financial consultant has got him investing here, there, and everywhere else. But all of this horse dung about caring about his staff and caring about the audience, he didn't give a damn about any of those people, man. He took his money and then complained that current TV didn't support the show. Well, they're giving you $10 million a year. So Oberman's to blame, and current TV, a huge amount of the blame goes to them as well, because if you're too stupid to understand how things work, that is, if you're going to give this guy $10 million a year, you might as well say to him, now you produce the show.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. That's how grown-ups do it. What is that? He went 10 million. Fine, we're going to give him $10 million a year, but he produces the show, everything. Well, now, wait just a sec. Well, all right. I mean, you guys want to tell, there's your $10 million. Now, give me a show. That's the way it, I think, should have been done. But it didn't, and so the world, according to Phil Henry, you know.
Yeah, if only people see the way stuff is, the way the stuff that you do, Mr.
All right, I understand what you're saying, bud. Thank you very much. All right, we're coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Let's check in and see what's going on with the Dancing with the Stars. Good God. Well, we'll find out about that. And also the Defense of Marriage Act is being appealed in Boston. So let's check this out. On the world-famous Phil Henry Show, is it being appealed, or is there something going on in Boston having to do with gay people?
Truth is
That's
our
not unusual.
Bitch. The
True.
Phil Henry Show.
There's an article here that I think it's excellent and needs to be, you know, on some level talked about. I don't know how many of us, you know, out here in the real world contemplate plastic surgery. Lots of women, young women, go in for the breast implants. When I was married, we lived in Westlake Village, California. I don't know how many of you guys know of Westlake Village, California. It's the new high-end suburb of Los Angeles. I shouldn't say new. But it's increasingly, over the last 20 years, has become the, it's like the Beverly Hills of West L.A. County, way out. And I lived there for when I was married. And that was the first time I ever saw teenagers with breast implants.
How'd you know?
Because people pointed it out to me, okay? Don't start in with that.
Yeah, man, you sit there checking out little girls and stuff?
I'm going to smack somebody. I didn't say that, did I?
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, uh-huh. First of all, my kids are telling me about it. So-and-so her. And that wasn't the only... I mean, I'm not trying to single this town out, but I think that's pretty weird. Now, there was a lot of money in this town, and so they weren't the only ones with breast implants. I saw all kinds of facelifts, all kinds of collagen lips, all kinds of... Oh man. And now comes this little article, and of course we've heard this before, and you've seen examples of really butchered up plastic surgery. It's freaking scary, and it's sad, and I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't do it for $1 million, man. Well,
you do it for like Keith Olbermann money?
Yes, I would do it for Keith Olbermann money.
What would you do? Probably have like maybe a penis and long menders.
Shut up.
There ain't no such thing, man.
Yeah, there's no such thing. Otherwise, no, I'm kidding. So, penis elongment. Where the hell did you come up with that?
I don't know. Did bet if they had it.
Yeah, if they had it, you'd be the first guy in line.
Yeah, that's true, man. Shut up.
But I'm in line. Anyway, I don't know why I'm laughing at that. This article here is written by some jackball. I totally admire French actress. I don't know who the hell is speaking in the first person there. I totally admire French actress Emmanuelle Bert for coming forward to warn the world about the dangers of plastic surgery. Is this a letter to the editor? I don't know. It can't be easy to talk about the botched lip job that ruined her formerly perfect pout. Now, I'm looking at a picture here of her that looks fine. I don't know. Maybe this isn't a current picture. But she's telling it like it is. Today, I would say I'm against plastic surgery. It's a grave act, an act that touches our soul. It was frightening. Beard isn't the only celebrity who regrets going under the knife. While most stay mum on the subject, there are a few stars out there who've openly admitted to being unhappy with the way they look post-surgery. Here are some plastic surgery celebrity regrets. Number one, Denise Richards says she regrets getting breast implants. Although this website is called The Stir, says, well, she looks great. I don't know. I can't tell. It's too far away. Whatever. Next picture. This is a picture. It says, oh, it's Tori Spelling, man.
Yeah, well, what haven't she had done, man? Yeah, Tori Spelling's had every plastic surgery. She had a butt lift and everything.
How do you know?
I'm just saying she's probably done.
Says here, another Hollywood mom who says she regrets getting implants. Tori Spelling is pretty tiny to be so top-heavy. I can't tell from that picture either. So Tori Spelling, the actress from, what was the show?
Like Beverly Hills 90210.
Beverly Hills 90210. Is that what the name of that show was?
No, man. It's called Melrose Place.
No, it wasn't. I think he's right. Apparently, Nicole Kidman preferred the way her face looked before Botox, BB, so she doesn't dig how she looks. The next one here is, this is Lisa Rinna. The infamous trout pout strikes against Lisa Rinna. She now says her sugar plump lips were a mistake. She's got those freaking bee sting lips, you know?
Man, that looks way out there, man. Yeah, I seen a lady one time. Did you remember that one lady we saw?
Yeah, it was in the bank. This lady's all...
Yeah, she looked like... She had Robert's lips. All black.
Shut up. Hey.
What's up, man?
What's with you, bud? You racist?
Just sad. Yeah, man, she looked like she got your lips, too.
What? Maybe she's got your caved-in head while we're at it. All right, so she's got weird-looking... She's got a weird-looking face. And then finally is... there were supposed to be five pictures, but here's the point that I'm making. Does anybody say to these folks, now, you don't want to be cruel. You really don't. I don't know what good you're going to do saying it to them after the fact. Honest to God, I think it's probably something that if somebody gets a bad-looking facelift, and let's be honest, I mean, unless I'm crazy, the facelift that Bruce Jenner's got there on... what show is that?
Yeah, it's called The Kardashian Show.
Yeah, Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yeah.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I mean, it's just not a... Now, I'm not the most handsome guy in the world, but then I'm not running around getting plastic surgery and saying, hey, how do I look now? And I think that when you do that, when you go out and get a facelift or a nose job or whatever, you're basically trying to improve what was there. And there ain't no improving my mug. You know, I'm always going to look the way I look. Now, if somebody goes out, gets a facelift, they're on TV. Don't you have a right to make a comment about it?
I don't know. You don't want to get them pissed off at you.
Who?
You got to have Bruce Jenner pissed off at you. And the Kardashians, too.
What? But they're not even listening to the show. I'm just saying, I think that's a pretty rough-looking facelift he's got. What do you think, bud?
Yeah, it looks pretty trucked.
Looks pretty trucked.
Well, it does.
So has anybody said that to him? See what I'm saying? Has anybody said that to him? And the same probably goes for, you know, Tori Spelling. Here's an example of a woman. When she was in the public eye, when she was on television, I never heard other men, I'm telling you right now, other men, I never heard a kind thing said about that girl's looks. Now, she's an actress, and, you know, obviously there's more to her than her looks, but with some people, that's all there is. And if you go out and you get breast implants, and you're, you know, basically trying to look like a piece of, you know, trying to look like a piece of tail, man, huh?
Yeah, she looked pretty jacked up, I thought.
See, I don't understand, you know, that, but the point being, nobody that I ever talked to thought she was attractive. Men. Why it is, I never thought she was that, I didn't think she was hideous, I don't know what the, but I don't understand. But the fact of the matter is, if you go out and you have that done and you want to look like a, you know, like somebody's idea of a wet dream, and there's guys across the country saying how trucked you look, that ain't good, man.
But I don't know if anybody's saying she looked trucked, but...
Well, I mean, I never heard anybody say anything good about her. It was always like, oh, God, Tori Spelling, you know.
Yeah, that's on account of... She should have had her eyes moved together.
They ain't got no surgery for that.
What?
They ain't got no surgery for that.
Can't get surgery to have your eyes moved together.
What about people that are inbred? How do they move them apart?
I'm going to belt you.
Is that true?
Is what true?
If, like, an inbred person, their eyes are too close together?
I don't know, Robert.
Yeah, you said one time you can be a Cyclops if you're inbred.
I didn't say that at all. That was some stupid-ass show I was... No, I know what it was. It was some stupid comic book I was reading.
Comic book?
Bud, what is it with you, man? A comic book and you take that for real, huh?
You said that there was a guy that was a Cyclops on account of his parents were brother and sister.
I did not. We'll be right back in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more of this scintillating, fascinating discussion tonight. A woman, age 80, lands an aircraft after her husband dies at the controls. Isn't that great? She didn't have to land it. She could have let it crash, but she decided to land the aircraft. I'm kidding. Well, but I'm not kidding about what happened, but my take on it. We'll be right back with that story and more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'm going to mention it very briefly, okay, because I don't want to go off on a whole thing, but, you know, when you talk about justice and injustice, and I happen to know, because I just happen to know, people are going to say that I'm a bad guy, and I don't care. I know this. No one's going to argue me off of this. It's a fact, and anybody listening who is unclear, I'm going to give you the total truth, and the total truth is, as if you don't know, white people mean well, but don't really, they're not comfortable with people bringing up slavery or Jim Crow. They are always quick to want to change the subject. Now, why is that? Because there's a simmering belief in the hearts and the minds of whites that the finger is going to be pointed at them as being racist and unfair and unjust people. Now, a lot of whites don't think of themselves that way. Some whites have got a problem with black people, and their problems with black people are basically the same stupid reasons that a lot of dumb whites have. You know, they don't like the fact that their life sucks, and the reason their life sucks is because all these minorities are taking over. In other words, their problems are all inside their own heads and inside their own hearts, but they don't have the guts to look at those, so it's all some black guy's problem. You ain't never going to educate some dumbass like that. Dumbass like that is like, you know, the best you can do with some guy like that is isolate him, because he's just, you know, it's going to take more than what you got. And I say that with all due respect. Whoever is listening to me right now, you probably ain't got what it takes. I don't mean that literally, because I may have some pretty special people listening, but in general, the average white racist, in general, on average, people listening right now, you haven't got what it, and that includes the black folks, you ain't got what it takes to change that guy's mind. That doesn't mean you have to be a brain surgeon, but you have to be skilled enough to get at that person without making him defensive, and that's a really tough thing to do. Now, the other part of the equation is this. The average good-meaning, well-meaning white, whatever you want to say, is uneducated about America's history when it comes to race. Plain and simple. It has, I'm sorry, that's a fact. Don't give me this bullcrap about how your ancestors this and that. You wouldn't know, and I say this with all due respect, you have no idea. And not only that, I'm not just talking about that, I'm talking about the history of race relations in America. Most whites are stupid, and even the smartest whites. Let's take, for instance, a guy like Rush Limbaugh, who is, I think, I know Rush, I like him. He's got political points of view that I don't agree with. But you, every time you talk to one of those guys, any of them, it could be a white liberal like Geraldine Ferraro, Nancy Pelosi. They all sound stupid when it comes to race. Just flat stupid. You know, I had a really great opportunity. I told you, I sat down with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar when we were both working on that episode of New Girl. And I really, because I'm a history fan, wanted to know about some of the things that he's involved in. He's a very, obviously, a very educated man. He's not just a basketball player. He has great interest. And one of his areas of interest is history. Now, I had only stumbled upon the stories of blacks fighting in the armed forces in World War II, World War I, and so forth. He's done a study of it. He's written a book. And I had a chance to sit down and talk with him. And that was a rare opportunity for me to talk to a prominent African-American who has written a book about the history of black people in warfare. He also wrote a children's book that chronicles the discoveries of black inventors. And I swear to God, a children's book. I'm telling you, a lot of adults ought to read this. But I mean, and I'm not saying I'm a special guy. I'm not saying there's anything special about Phil Hendry. What I'm saying is, how many of us take the opportunity? Even if we don't have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar sitting around there, how many of us take the opportunity to look at the total history of this country? It's an amazing history. It's a fantastic history. And it's got a lot to learn. And not only can we learn a lot, we can understand why, man. You're never going to understand why if you don't know history. And that's the one thing lacking, if I say this with the greatest of respect, and you're still mad at me, I don't know what to say to you, but that's the one thing lacking among, I won't talk about black people. There's plenty of stupid black people. I talked to a lot of them on the phone tonight, man. I wouldn't even let him on the air. I talked to one dumbass. He didn't know what the hell it was I was trying to do on my show tonight, you know? We do satire. This jackass got a chip on his shoulder. He ain't never going to come off. And I'm not going to sit here and have a conversation with some clown while I'm trying to get a radio show going. But I ain't talking about them right now. I'm talking about the overwhelming majority of whites that are so stupid when it comes to the history of this country and race in this country. You want to cry. And then, of course, you know, and you can't say anything because the minute you say that, oh, they get defensive. And oh, well, I understand, you know. Everybody's a brain surgeon. They all got it figured out. They don't have anything figured out. They haven't got anything figured out. I was reading here, Bud, you were asking me about this?
Yeah.
Fred Hampton. This guy was a member of the Black Panthers in Chicago. Fred Hampton was basically murdered. And I'm telling you, I'm just saying this because it has come out that the guy was assassinated. The guy was ambushed and assassinated while he was in bed. Fred Hampton was laying in bed. The FBI, Chicago police, and the attorney general's office, the state's attorney's office, all these cops coming in with all these badges, killed him laying in bed. They called it a gunfight. They lied. Now, I know it was in 1969. It was a long time ago, 40 years ago, but that's not really a long time in relation to what we're talking about. That's just one instant that got publicized. One. We only now know about Emmett Till. It was a very famous case, and among black people, that was a very well-known case for many, many years. But white folks, they're just now getting to know about Emmett Till. Emmett Till, some kid who had made the mistake of what, looking at a white girl or something? They murdered him. They hung him. They mutilated his body. And it goes on and on. And if you think because those are the only cases, well, that's not really that bad, Phil. Those are the ones that got publicized. Those are the ones that got publicized, man. This is a country that has gone through living hell when it comes to race relations. All I'm saying is, for a lot of people, the strife is good. They like it. It takes them away from their own pathetic lives. So they like to keep it going. They like to keep talking, you know, garbage about people. And you're like I said, you're never, ever going to convince them. Or if you are, it's going to take a really special person to do it. And like I said, on average, you know, they ain't a whole hell of a lot of special people out there these days, folks. Let's face it. We're a country that is in dire need of heroes. And other than over in Iraq and Afghanistan, there sure as hell ain't too many of them around here these days. But the other thing is, for the well-meaning people, white folks who, you know, want to know something and maybe make it better, you can learn about history. You always got to understand why you feel the way you feel and then feel it, you know, and don't be over. You know, I don't like these white liberals that are sappy and stupid and silly and that whole. Remember when President Obama, when he was running for president, that song? What was that thing?
Oh, that made me want to vomit.
I like that song. You did, huh? Well, it was the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. That Obama's going to lead us. Of course it was. People were embarrassed by it. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, how about a little, you know, right, play it right down the middle. Don't play it dumb and sappy. But don't be stupid and ignore what's going on. I'm trying to find this thing because it's really nauseating. And it was an example. And I think I'll tell you how bad it was. Even President Obama took it off of his website. It was so funky.
Yeah, Obama's going to lead us.
Exactly. So, I mean, the whole thing with the Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin case is the first thing that a lot of these whites have got to do is quit. Just shut up. Yeah, I know all the black people are getting crazy and screaming and yelling and they're pissed off. Of course they're pissed off. They're pissed off because there's been like lots and lots of years of this stuff. It just seems to be continues and nobody seems to know why and no one's explained. Every time they ask white people, we get all defensive about it. We ought to just shut our mouths. Maybe there's something to this where they're suspicious, where the cops have buried evidence, where cops have just pulled black people off the street because that was what was going to get the job done, where they lied, where they railroaded people. Everybody talked about that OJ jury. Well, sure, you know, it didn't surprise me. Some guy says to me, you know, hey, man, anybody can see that OJ did it. Anybody can see? What if you come from a place where every cop you ever knew, all he could do was lie and try to find some guy to railroad, try to find the next black guy to railroad, try to, you know, dummy up the evidence, fool around with the evidence so they can just send some guy off to jail that didn't. I mean, you know, there are whole communities that are used to that, too. White folks, because we don't know from that, we don't understand it. We think they're making it up. Not making it up. So if people are going to get pissed off about this guy Zimmerman and you say, I don't understand. I mean, why? Let's look at the facts. Looking at the facts. You know what? There's been 200 years of looking at the facts in the black community, trusting cops. And yes, I know it's getting better. I'm not saying that it isn't. And I know that, you know, we're trying to do better as a country. But it's a long history of cops not coming through for those communities. And so you'll excuse them if when you say, well, let the cops look into it. What the hell are they going to do, man, except come up with the same bogus results they always come up with?
Yeah, you can't say they're always coming up with bogus results.
I'm not saying always, but this thing, the worst thing about this Zimmerman thing, I'll tell you what it is. The fact that it took a couple of weeks before this thing hit the headlines. It was 2 weeks of this guy walking around, you know, just like free as a bird. And the cops down, well, that's really too bad. Sorry to hear the kid got shot. Okay, thanks a lot, George. See you later. And that was it. And then all of a sudden, you know, people were heard from, family members were heard from. And now, oh, well, maybe we had to take another look at this. And people are saying, well, what the hell? What took so long? All right, that's my speech.
Yeah, you're supposed to give a speech, man. You're doing a talk show.
Well, you know, you're right. I forgot about that. All right, we'll be right back, but I'm all done, man. I'm all Zimmermaned out, man. That's it for me. We'll be back with the conclusion of the Falderall here tonight. Maybe we'll talk about some of these great shows that I haven't been able to see because I work at night, like
Fight Your TiVo.
I don't want to see them that bad, like Walking Dead. I don't really.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
Anyway, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, it sounds gross, Phil.
Don't tell me I can't belch in my own studio. I belched. I'm drinking a Diet Coke. God, I'm dying of thirst, man. Dying of thirst. What's the temperature been like today? I don't know how you guys are faring out there in America. Here at the El Pacifico, it's been warm, man.
Yeah, I think about maybe in the 80s and stuff.
It feels very warm, and we should have that nice ocean breeze.
Yeah, but yeah, you got it real tough, man.
Well, I'm not saying I got it tough, but I do know that yesterday I took a look out of the window on our Esplanade deck. I'm kidding. No, but I did take a look out the window, and I saw a boy. Man, there, the surf was really, really smashing the shoreline there, wasn't it?
Yeah, today a lot of wind and stuff.
Except we've had some squirrely weather, but it's been hot here, and it's been warm. It's been a pretty warm winter, and the only reason why I say that, I don't want to go on and on like it's the Farmer's Almanac, but boy, I sure hope it doesn't mean fire, man, because every time it dries up, Jack, it's fire season. All right. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, and of course we're online at philhendryshow.com, and right after the show you will see that we'll post for yous our show log. And then you can also, of course, hit us up at our Phil Hendry Show shop. And I'm looking at it right now. We've got some nice collectibles. We have what we call our collectibles. That's our shot glass. Are these the collectibles, bud?
Yeah, that's the collectibles. That means you collect them.
No kidding.
Yeah, where'd you get that, man?
That's why they're called that.
Oh, okay, thanks.
What are you looking at?
No, nothing. I'm not looking at anything. The collectibles, that's why. Okay.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
You guys can eat it.
Take it easy, man. Eat it. Anyway, we have our official Phil Hendry Show shot glass, our coffee mug, and the new Bobby Dooley keychain. If you go over to our clothing, we have the hooded sweatshirt. That is our Phil Hendry Now, see, it's not the Phil Hendry hooded pullover sweatshirt. It's the Ted's of Beverly Hills official hoodie. Oh, God. And then we have our ball cap and our official Phil Hendry Show all-purpose t-shirt and a whole bunch of other stuff. We have our downloads, so visit us there at philhendryshow.com. What else, man? I was talking about, I don't want to get into any more of this because it's just whack, but the stuff about Fred Hampton and the and just do a little bit of reading and get educated.
Tell people they're dumbass, though.
I'm not saying anybody's a dumbass. Speaking of history, today I was late. God, I felt so bad. I had an ADR session. What is ADR? My whole life, I've been talking on microphones. My whole adult life, my whole professional life, I've been talking on microphones. And ADR is when you go in after you've done a TV show and you have to add some line, or you have to go in and clean up bad language for TV. Like if you said the F word, you have to say...
Yeah, like frog it.
Yeah, I heard a guy say frog it one time.
Frog it. Yeah, okay. But I thought it was interesting because as I was traveling out to, went into Hollywood today to do that at a studio on Sunset Boulevard. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is all of my life I've gone to do voice work, whether it's been for a animated show, whether it's been to do ADR, whether it's been to do commercials. And I've gone all over a lot of different cities. Here in Los Angeles, I've been to a lot of different what they call post-production houses or recording studios. But the last couple of weeks, man, I've been in Hollywood, and I haven't been working there. This is just an example of what's happened to all of life across America, no matter what the industry that you're in. It's become decentralized. Everything is now, you know, we're doing jobs out of our houses. The commute time is it's done. When I first started doing radio in this city, it was all on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood. But I went today to an old studio on Sunset Boulevard that had been there since the 1920s.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you can see the edifice of this place, one of these old places. But because it's in Hollywood, in modern Hollywood, of course, the parking lot behind it had chicken wire around it, you know? And when I went and I did the Fitzdog show, it was at a studio down on Formosa, and there's an old bar down there called the, I say old bar, I mean it's called the Formosa, I think the Formosa Cafe, maybe something, the Formosa Bar, some jazz like that. Anyway, I think this place used to be a real seedy dump, and then someone bought it and turned it into an official tourist seedy dump.
Yeah, the kind of seedy dump a tourist ain't afraid to go into.
Exactly. So right down from this touristy seedy dump is this studio, and it was the funniest thing, man. There's all these houses around it, and then right smack dab in the middle is what looks like Hitler's bunker. I'm kidding, not Hitler's, but, you know.
Big cement block house.
Yeah, it's a big cement block house with chicken wire and barbed wire around it. And this is where we went and did the show. And all of these studios are really old. They go back to, you know, before there was such a thing as recording. They were, this studio that I was in today used to be the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce back in the 30s. And then they eventually turned it into a recording studio in the 50s. And it went through a couple of incarnations as a recording studio in the 50s and 60s until finally it became this post-production audio place.
Now, what's post-production?
It's post-production. It's what happens after the project, and you have to add something. You either have to edit it. You either have to add audio, stuff like that. It was pretty interesting, and nice people, but a little bit of history there. And I was telling Dan, if you go to, like, Disney World, and you go to the Disney's MGM studio thing, have you seen that?
Yeah, I saw that down in Florida.
Yeah, at Orlando, they have this Disney's MGM Studio Park or amusement area. And what it is it's a mock-up of Hollywood. It's a fake little Hollywood street. And one of them, on this fake little Hollywood street, it has little places from Hollywood's history, I guess. And one of them is the Crossroads of the World, which is a very famous landmark on Sunset Boulevard. It looks almost like a, kind of like an Eiffel Tower. It's not as high. It's nowhere near as tall. But it is. It marks what are offices and businesses in this little walkway. Well, they have this at Disney World. Well, the real one used to have hookers hanging out around it, you know? And
what about Disney World?
What do you mean, what about at Disney World?
They don't got them there.
No, they ain't got hookers at Disney. You guys understand what I'm talking about?
No.
I'm saying that Disney World, they have a crossroads of the world that the tourists go and they look at because it looks like Hollywood. The real one has hookers hanging around it.
The real one in Hollywood's got the hookers, not at Disney.
No, not at Disney. What do you think, they got hookers hanging around Disney?
I don't know. It's like, well, it wouldn't be a real hooker if they dressed up like a mouse or something. Not a mouse, but...
Yeah, Chip and Dale.
Yeah, Chip and Dale dressed up like sluts.
Get out of here. Ah.
World famous Phil, Chip and Dale dressed like sluts. Boy, that's... Bud, you're kind of weird.
Yeah, you're digging sex with a chipmunk.
I didn't do it. You did.
Anyway, the Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Henry, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. Don't forget to go over to our website and get yourself a backstage pass, baby. You know, you can do worse in this world. Get a backstage pass. You'll love it. Until then, this is Phil Henry saying have a very pleasant evening, and take the garbage out, bud.
Yes, sir.
Phil Henry.